The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Have you ever broken off an engagement? Did you bomb your SATs? Have you been fired for drinking on the job? Well, even if you haven't, I'm here to tell you that someone successful has. Hi, I'm Jenny Mullen. I'm a mom, a comedian, a New York Times bestselling author, and yes, a total failure. Whether you ruined your best friend's wedding, oops, or just have an unhealthy need to constantly compete with your younger and cuter sibling, this podcast will cover it. Join me each week as I talk to friends, comedians, celebrities, pet psychics, ex-boyfriends, and more. All the Fails is a podcast about failure in all its various forms.
Come on in, take a seat.
Hi fam, we are in for a solo episode, and this one has a specific topic. It's not like a catch-up. If you're watching this video, it might be kind of dark. I'm honestly not sure what to do with the lighting situation here because it's Sunday and it's daytime, but it's not that sunny out. Whatever, we're just going to have to deal with it. If it's dark, I'm sorry. And if you're someone who's listening and you're like, what video? Yeah, we put the video on YouTube. Because evidently some people like watch podcasts. I didn't know that these types of people existed. I am not one, but they are out there. One of my close girlfriends actually is said one of these people. And she's always like, no, I watch my podcast. I'm like, what are you actually talking about? So it's on YouTube. For the people who watch, that is where you can go and watch, I guess. All right. This episode is one that I've been thinking about doing for a while. It's something that I've referenced a ton and I keep saying, I'll do an episode. And it's one that I get asked a lot of questions about. So we are going to compare the two postpartum experiences. Now, I'm going to share what I went through, I guess, the first time around. So if you're new here, welcome. First of all, thank you so much for joining us. I think that might be helpful. If you're not, you probably already know this story, but bear with me. And then we'll dive into this recent one because it has felt very different for me, honestly, in every kind of way, because not only have they been such different kids, but mentally it just feels very differently. And I want to get into the difference, but then also why, because I think I've had such a better mental health experience this go around. So if there's anything I can do to try and help anyone else prepare for a more positive postpartum mental health experience, I would love to do that because, Lord, it is a fragile time. So the first go around, I had my first son in 2021, and I was always an anxious person, and I had struggled with like bouts of depression. And even my pregnancies were very different when it comes to like the mental aspect of them. When I was pregnant with my first, I had just gone off my anxiety medication. I had been on amitriptyline. Also, sidebar real fast, the word recall, the inability to recall words that I'm experiencing lately, which I'm sure you notice in some episodes, is actually kind of terrifying. I posted a TikTok the other day or an Instagram story where I couldn't remember the name of a tablecloth, like the word, and it'll be something so obvious. And I'm like, what is that word? Let alone people, my God, people's names. Nope, no idea. But words, it's so scary. So amitriptyline was the medication I was on. And I had been on it for, since 2018, like 3 years around. And I had gone off of it right before I got pregnant. Oh no, because I got pregnant in August. Whatever. I was on the medication for a bit. And I had gone off of it because I talked to my OB and I said, you know, at some point in the future, I want to start thinking about getting pregnant. And she told me she didn't really want me on that said medication while I was pregnant. So she told me, let's just go off of it, figure out where you're at your baseline. If you want to go on a new medication, we can get you on that before you get pregnant. So I went off of amitriptyline. I was figuring out my baseline. And if you know my journey of getting pregnant the first go around, basically my AMH level was like very low, technically in the quote unquote infertile range. A doctor told me a fertility specialist told me we were going to have to do IVF. We hadn't even started trying. I thought that was kind of crazy to just jump to that. But I was like, I guess that's what our future is going to hold. Okay. So in that week after they told me that, I told Joe we didn't need to use protection because they had told me we were going to have to do IVF. And while that is a journey for many, that was not the right advice for my body. So I surprisingly got pregnant. And because I hadn't known that this was the plan, I got pregnant while I was still unmedicated. And those first few weeks specifically of my pregnancy were some of the most like intensely anxious moments I had in a very long time, where it wasn't necessarily anxiety over the fact that I was pregnant or anxiety over the pregnancy, but it was just this like humming level of anxiety. I just felt like I was buzzing at all times. So that's when I started my sertraline prescription. This all kind of plays into this conversation, if you're wondering why the heck I'm talking about this. So sertraline is a generic brand of Zoloft. I was on that starting around week, I want to say like 9 of my pregnancy, of my first. And then throughout the pregnancy, we increased the dosage at certain points. And then I gave birth. So that pregnancy was very anxiety focused for me. And again, it wasn't necessarily, people ask a lot, like, how did you deal with the anxiety of like knowing your baby was okay? It weirdly wasn't that, because for that, I could conceptualize, which sounds interesting as an anxious person, but I could really like come to terms with the fact that that just wasn't in my control. Obviously, there's certain things, like I was being safe where I wasn't putting myself in harm's way. But if something were to happen, it wasn't really in my control. And because there was that understanding, I kind of let go of that anxiety. But my anxiety just was about everything else. And it was just this background buzzing noise. And I had been very aware of this idea of like postpartum depression, postpartum anxiety, all of that. And I have a psychiatrist that I meet with, and she even said some words to Joe about what to look for. And so we had what I thought was this whole like game plan of like, okay, we're gonna get through this and not have any hard times. And again, what I had always envisioned struggling in postpartum was that thing that we hear about in terms of postpartum blues or postpartum depression, where the baby's born, they're put on your chest, and the mother maybe doesn't feel that bond, and they're depressed like kind of instantaneously. And while that is the case for some, and I'm not discrediting that experience at all because that's a whole separate experience, that wasn't my case. I felt the attachment right away. I felt the bond. I was overly in love like I had never experienced before. It was everything I could have dreamed of and more. And for me, my mental health struggles didn't really hit until around month 4. And I have a lot of thoughts about this now going through it a second time and reflecting on that. So when I gave birth, we were in New York City. We came home after the hospital to our apartment, and I was very adamant about not wanting help, like especially in our apartment at that time. A lot of my friends had had night nurses, and I just personally, I have no judgment clearly because I had one second time around, which I'll get into. I have no judgment towards people using them or having them. I think you do whatever the hell you want to do and what you're able to do and what your family can afford to prioritize yourself. For me, prioritizing myself was I wanted this kind of bubble of just us and the time to like learn the two of us. And I thought of it kind of as like this team aspect. And I don't know, I just felt very strongly about it. I'm also not great about people in my space. And this was during COVID. So a lot of the night nurses in our area, at least, and that my friends had to stay with you 24/7. And that was something I really wasn't interested in, especially in like a small apartment. So we had decided not to. That being said, we were obviously, like many new parents and most new parents, sleep deprived. And I think sleep deprivation is so real. So real. It's a reason it's a form of torture. And I kind of lived in this bubble for the first 2-3 months where everything was so focused on our child and just with the three of us. It was like all we cared about and focused on was that we were pooping and eating and sleeping and doing it all over again. And I kind of thrived in that bubble, if we're being honest. I had a hard time when that bubble kind of popped, when our newborn at that time, like, started sleeping better. And look, he slept like an angel. He was an angel baby, like a unicorn child, okay? Doing the whole 12 hours by 12 weeks. Like, he was a unicorn. Never spit up once in his entire, he spit up once in his entire life. Now, with a refluxy baby, it's comical to think about that experience and me just thinking that was normal. Maybe normal for some. It was normal for me the first go around. Definitely not the case this time. So where I really struggled was after that 3-month period when I started to like dive back into work and I was still navigating what work looked like and what my work-life balance structure looked like and what our help situation looked like and bringing someone in and having our parents help and all of those things. But I just felt like there was this dark cloud that I could not lift. No matter how blessed I realized I was, which was so blessed, no matter how grateful I was, which was so grateful, no matter how many resources I had, how much help, how many people in our village, it was just this very dark, depressing time for me. And I think about this all the time because, again, with all those said privileges, resources, all of those things, and I was struggling that much, I don't think that those things negate the opportunity to struggle. We know that like people can have mental health struggles, whether they have money or privilege or whatever. But I do think like I was set up for success. So how the actual F are people who are not set up for success, who are struggling with this, going to get through? It's something I feel very passionately about, why I talk about so much the mental health struggles of postpartum and open that dialogue and be as transparent and honest as I feel comfortable being, because we need to help moms. Like, bottom line, we need better care. And I just was so down about everything. And I've mentioned this before, but I just remember this one very vivid, vivid point. It was at the very end of summer and we were at my parents' beach house and everyone was having fun. And I just kind of escaped to go upstairs. And this was like frequently how I had felt, but I just remember this one period, like crucially, I don't know if that's the right word, but whatever. And I just sat in the third floor, like hangout room, just in dark silence. And Joe walked in and was like, "Are you good?" And I was like, "I don't think so. Like, I don't want to be with people. I don't want to like be alone doing something. I just want to be awake, but in silence and darkness and just like, I like shut off almost." And it was at that point that then I started talking about this more with my psychiatrist and my therapist. We upped my medication. I took off some time from work. We reconfigured like what my kind of work-life balance was going to look like, our help, all of that. And I really started to prioritize myself because this was another thing where I dove so deeply into motherhood, which I don't regret at all, but I was forgetting to also do things for myself. I was forgetting the concept of you literally cannot fill from an empty cup. You simply cannot. The saying exists for a reason. You can't. And so I just felt like I was so set on doing everything and anything for my child at that time that I completely negated myself and my needs, whether it was eating, being outside, exercising, all of the other tools that I had in my mental health toolkit that I had prioritized for so long to be in a better place. And it almost was this point where I would look at my son and be like, I have these very strong, vivid feelings of looking at him as a baby and being like, "You're going to be the reason I get through this. And you're not the reason I'm depressed, but you're going to be the reason why I figure this out." And I still feel so strongly about that when I look at the two of them whenever I'm struggling. I'm like, "I'm going to figure this out for you two." Yes, for myself, of course. But the main factor is I want to figure it out for the two of them because I want to be the best possible mom I can be to them. And what that looked like at that time was I started waking up earlier than him so I could have like a few minutes to myself and do things, whether it be journal or meditate or put on my noise canceling headphones and listen to music that made me feel good and dance like a fucking lunatic for 10 minutes. I did this every morning for a while and it would just kind of start that day off in a different mentality. And I know it sounds so silly and so easy, but it was just these small little things where I was focused on choosing joy. And so whether it be that or getting outside or exercising again or spending time with friends and like forcing myself to leave and do things, that really helped. There are few brands or services or
anything that I love as much as Thrive Market. And I'm not exaggerating. I have been a member since, I think it's like 2015, I recently looked. I have used them for every stage of my adult life. Post-college, I used them when I lived in an apartment and I was like trying to save as much money as possible when I was grocery shopping. And so I got all of my pantry staples from them. Then when we moved to a house, I'm like, you better believe I am bulk buying now that I have the storage. Okay. We created this pantry in our basement. I am bulk buying all of my beans, my pastas, my grains, my cereals, my snacks. I love them. And they have all of my favorite brands. And as a mom to a toddler, let me tell you, one thing about toddlers is they always be snacking. Always. They always have a snack at all times. You cannot go anywhere without a snack because they're going to turn to you and say, Mom, I'm hungry. And I learned my lesson the other day at the park because he said, Mom, I'm hungry. And guess what? I didn't have a snack. And then I felt like a failure. I'm not going to lie. That is why I love Thrive Market. They have all of my family's favorite brands on their site. They have Go Macro, Three Wishes, Mills, Simple Mills, Chomps, Siete, so many. And I try out new brands like Scout Organics and the Thrive Market brand Organic Fruit Circles. They are just like everywhere. They are my go-to for all of my grocery and household essentials. Without fail, I have an order arriving from them every like 4 to 6 weeks. I love, love that they get delivered right to my door, not having to leave the house and go grocery shopping and like schlep all of this into the car and then back up into the house is truly the greatest gift you can give a mom. Plus, I save so much money, so much money. Last order, I saved $105 and they have a price match guarantee. So if you find a better price somewhere else, they will match it. Save time and money and shop Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/Cameron for 30% off your first order plus a free $60 gift. That's thrivemarket.com/Cameron, thrivemarket.com/Cameron. It is springtime, which means not only are we finally going to be spending more time outdoors, but it also is time for one of my favorite things, which is spring cleaning. Like truly, there's nothing I love more than going through every nook and cranny and closet of our house and deciding what we want to keep, what we want to replace, what we want to donate, what we want to sell, all of those good things. I love doing it. Okay. Now, when we moved last year, I had such an urge to purge and replace. And one of the things that we replaced last year that has been a game changer for us, and I recommend you keep in mind with your spring cleaning, is our pots and pans and storage ware. And we replaced all of ours with Caraway, and I will never in a million years look back. I love them so freaking much. Their thoughtfully designed sets and complimentary storage makes getting and staying organized easier than ever. Not only are their high quality ceramic coated kitchenware free of PTFE, lead, and other toxic materials, but they come in the most beautiful colorway options. I have the navy. They sit out on our stovetop all day long. I love them there. I think it actually blends perfectly with our kitchen. And then I got the storage in their like cream color and I just love them. I love them. I love them. I love them. Plus the naturally slick surface means it is so much easier for me to clean after cooking. I showed a video the other day, like literally just with water, everything is coming off. Then of course I'm doing the soap for like the bacteria aspect, but it's so freaking easy. Just as a reminder, their iconic cookware set comes with the saute pan, fry pan, Dutch oven, and saucepan, plus lids for all of them, a canvas lid holder, and magnetic pan rack for storage. It's the ultimate kitchen setup and will save you $150 versus buying the items individually. Plus, if you visit carawayhome.com/Cameron, you can take an additional 10% off your next purchase. This deal is exclusive for our listeners, so visit carawayhome.com/Cameron or use code Cameron at checkout. Caraway, non-toxic cookware made modern. Another thing for me at that point was weaning. I was still breastfeeding. It was around month 5, I think, with our first that I weaned. And that was huge for me because I felt that was really negatively impacting my mental health. And that change helped me so dramatically. So all of those things to say, that was my journey with like the depression aspect of postpartum. I know I just said that I didn't have a like depressive feelings really until month 4. But what happened right away was characterized as postpartum anxiety, where I had really intense intrusive thoughts, like very intense. I call them Final Destination thoughts. If you grew up watching those movies, you know what I'm talking about. They're so fucked up. Why did we watch those movies? I don't know, but we did. I was obsessed with them, where I would literally see these very, very vivid, horrific things happening to my child. And it was almost like
I was doing them. And I remember thinking something was so wrong with me and being so scared to say these out loud. And I still feel very weird when I verbalize this because they're horrible. I don't even want to say them out loud. But ones that I have shared is like, I mean, the very common one, if I'd wake up in the middle of the night and like convinced he was in our sheets, even though we didn't co-sleep or bed share, he was always in his bassinet next to me. But I would wake up and just be utterly convinced that he had been in the sheets and was suffocating. And I would wake up and like punch Joe because I thought that he was like holding him in bed. And then I would have ones anytime I was carrying him through a doorway that like I'd slam his head into the side of the doorway, or I'd drop him on our marble countertop, like hit his head on our countertop, or I'd drop him on our hardwood floor. He could be just chilling over there in his bassinet or on his playmat, and I would like think that somehow a piece of something on our bookshelf was going to fall off and bounce onto there and then go slam him in the head. Like things that were not even physically possible, but in my head were so vividly happening. And again, it wasn't ever an urge to do these things, but I was witnessing them in my head. And so there was this underlying level of anxiety around doing anything with him, specifically in our home. And I've talked with a lot of people about this. I've talked with professionals about this. And part of the reason I think is because our body is almost like preparing ourselves for worst case scenario. And so what helped me is I would say them out loud, because I think if you keep thoughts in your head, it's like this, they're like stuck in this prison cell and they just keep getting worse and worse and worse and it snowballs. So I would turn to Joe and say them. I'm like, oh my God, I just envisioned doing XYZ. And he'd be like, okay, well, that's not what's happening right now, so we can move on. And the other thing I would say is to myself, I'd be like, this is not reality. This is just a passing thought. This is not what's actually happening. My body is just preparing me for worst case scenario, and I am safe. Like, I'm good here. We're not being attacked. We are safe. What I didn't realize I was experiencing during this period until I had my second and went through postpartum differently, is a little bit of OCD. I've always been I'm a recovering like type A perfectionist, and I love a good outline, schedule, like you tell me what to do, I will do it, to the point where it's a control thing. It's a complete control thing. I've given it up a lot in this stage of my life. As I've gotten older, my girlfriends and I were just talking about this, where it's the idea of like, if you go on a girls trip, there have to be enough pinks and enough purples for the trip to go well. I forget which is which, but if one of them, say pink, is like, you're very organized, you know every restaurant you're going to, you know the menus at the restaurants, like you're planning the trip. And the purples are just like, tell me where to go and I'll go. And there have to be enough of each in each trip to work, because if there are too many pinks, then there are too many cooks in the kitchen and like everyone's fighting about trying to organize. If there are too many purples, like nothing gets done. And we were talking about like who is who in our group. And I used to so intensely be the pink in this scenario. Again, I think I might have messed up the colors, but whatever. I used to so intensely plan everything. Like our honeymoon was booked to the freaking every single meal in a spreadsheet I had made of like where we were going, what we were doing, all of those things. If I was going anywhere on a trip, I mean, I've created like intense travel guides because I was anal about knowing everything about where we went, what the best restaurants were. Like it was about this obsession of optimizing. And many of it was also related to food because, again, I was trying to control everything. And the idea of like it being a mealtime and not knowing where to eat was at that point my like biggest fear. Don't ask me why. Again, this could be a whole other episode. So I had always kind of had that underlying tendency. Now I could not feel more differently. I show up places, I have no idea where I'm even going. Like there's nothing I love more than being told right before, this is where we're going, this is what we're doing. My dream is to show up somewhere and just be told what to do all day long. And I say this like so wholeheartedly. We even went on a trip with a friend, like I remember last year, and she was like, do you have any idea what we're doing? And I was like, nope. And I love you so much for planning everything. I trust you. You know, obviously it's part being with people you trust, but I say this all the time. Like I show up to an airport with Joe. I have no idea what airline we're flying. I don't even know what terminal we're in. Couldn't tell you the flight details, the gate, the seat, nothing. I just show up and I follow his lead. So all that being said, this period, the first go around, triggered a lot of that behavior in me. And I think a lot of it is because I felt so out of control. I remember leaving the hospital and then being like, okay, call us if you pass a blood clot larger than a golf ball. Good luck. And I'm like, I'm sorry. You think I'm going to let blood clots come out and not call until it's the size of a fucking golf ball? And also, what do I do? When does this baby eat? When do they sleep? How do I breastfeed? Like, what are their shit supposed to look like? What do we do? How do we keep this thing alive? And it's so true. There's just no guidebook for a baby at all. And even my headspace leaving the hospital the second time versus the first time is so different, because the first time is terrifying. And I don't mean that to scare you, but like, you're now responsible for a human and it's all so fucking new. How would you know how to do this if you've never done it before? And I get that's why a lot of my friends had night nurses. I 100% understand that reasoning, on top of the fact of like, you get to sleep and you have help and assistance and all of those things. But a large benefit that many of my friends had them for with their first is to help teach them. And there's so much knowledge there and there's so much true need for that. And I totally understand that. And so maybe that also heightened this because we didn't have that and we were just kind of figuring it out as we went. But I just remember being so fucking anally and obsessed with his schedule. And again, I didn't realize how intense it was until I experienced the second time around, because I think schedules are great. I still am a schedule girly. For me, it really helps as a parent to know when the kid is quote unquote sleeping or like kind of in their sleep window versus their wake window. So I can simply just plan other things. I like knowing if I'm going to have a block of time to do something. That's helpful for me. I know that schedules cause some people anxiety, but for me, the idea of not knowing when I can do anything with or without the kids causes me more anxiety. So I've always leaned on the schedule side of things. But what I didn't realize is the first time around, it was really obsessive and causing me, I don't know if it caused me more anxiety than helped. I think it helped more than it caused anxiety, but there was a lot of anxious and OCD tendency behaviors around that, to the point where I was obsessively tracking every feed, every to the minute of which boob he was feeding on, every pee, every poop, every sleep, how many times he was stirring, whether he waked up, how many minutes had he slept, how many minutes was he awake, like very just obsessive. I mean, lunatic behavior. But I also think that unfortunately, it's so common your first go around because you don't know what the fuck is happening. And it's this sense of you feel out of control. And so this is one thing that you kind of convince yourself you can control. So my postpartum period, the second go around, from the beginning, everything has been different, which is why I was convinced we were having a girl up until like the day before. My pregnancy was really not anxiety like focused at all, but it was pretty depressive. I was just very depressed. And again, I was living this amazing life. All of the things were going for me, but my brain was working overtime against me. And pregnancy, just physically, my body is great at it. Okay. Like my body does all of the great things, minus the prodromal labor the second time around. Mentally, my brain turns into a bit of a scary place. And so when I gave birth, I was terrified of experiencing a similar postpartum mentally as the last go around, mainly because I just simply didn't want to, again, because it was really hard, but also because I was very concerned about like, how am I going to show up for my toddler if I'm in that brain space again? It was one thing to be in that brain space with a newborn where, you know, they're way less aware. But with a toddler, I don't want him to see me that sad. I don't want him to watch me struggle. I don't want him to be aware of that. Like, I was very concerned about that. And so I have been pleasantly surprised with my mental health this go around. And I say that at a point where basically 6 months. So we're past the part that was really bad for me last go around, or we're right in the middle of it. And I just feel like it's been night and day. With these warmer seasons, I am finally spending more time outside. And something I've talked about a lot is that I want to like prioritize hobbies. I feel like I spend so much time focused on my kids or focused on my work. And I want to do something that is for me, that's enjoyable, that's active, and that's fun. So I'm trying to get back into tennis and golf,
while it is nice out. And I am super excited to get my butt on the court and the course because I just got some new gear from Roback and I love it. Roback was founded because the founders needed activewear that they could transition seamlessly from one activity to the next, and they simply couldn't find it. So they made one. I just got the Luna sleeveless zip, the Renewal quarter zip long sleeve, and the Steffi active squirt. And they are so cute, so comfortable, so flattering, and so amazing for like bopping in and out of these hobbies, but then also like going to drop off, going to run errands. Basically, my life is in activewear, and I'm so freaking pumped about these pieces. The Steffi active squirt is lightweight and breathable to match your active lifestyle. They've built in shorts liner with an elastic strip to keep them in place because you know that is important, along with hidden pockets to secure your belongings. Plus, we also got the Tempo Performance hoodie and jogger. My mom took it home with her because she was here when it arrived, and I think she's been in it every single morning since I FaceTimed her. If you haven't already, it is now time to try out some Roback. Use the code Cameron on roback.com for a generous 20% off your first order through the end of the week. That's spelled roback.com. 20% off all hoodies, joggers, crews, and more with code Cameron. Stay comfortable this spring with Roback. I'm so pumped about the warmer weather coming because I just love being outside, but with outdoor activity means just like generally more activity. I'm simply just more active and I'm also just on the go more. And quite honestly, it's harder for me to remember to stay hydrated. I wish that wasn't the case, but it simply is. That is why I love Element so much. I drink one in the morning to help me stay hydrated throughout the day, and it's delicious. And I love it over ice with a straw specifically. Like that crisp, nice, hydrating flavor is just what I need for that like 9 a.m. post-breakfast pick-me-up and to keep me hydrated for the day. Element is a tasty electrolyte drink mix with everything you need and nothing you don't, which means a lot of salt with no sugar. This product contains a science-backed electrolyte ratio with none of the junk like coloring, artificial ingredients, and other BS additives. Whether you overdid it this past weekend, you are working out a ton, you're trying to keep an active lifestyle, whatever you're doing, replenishing electrolytes is super important. You know, I also talked about this during pregnancy. I had such bad headaches and I also was just like disgusted by the idea of water. And when I was breastfeeding, like there was not enough liquid in the world to keep me hydrated. Element was crucial for two of those periods. I love the citrus salt element. That is my absolute favorite. I also really like the spicy mango for a nice little kick. Right now, Element is offering my listeners a free sample pack with any purchase when you purchase through my link. Go to drinkelement.com/Cameron to receive a free Element sample pack with any order when you purchase through our URL. Plus, they offer no questions asked refunds. You try it totally risk-free. If you don't like it, they will give you your money back. No questions asked, so you really have nothing to lose. drinkelement.com/Cameron. I've talked about this ad nauseum, but the decision fatigue around dinner is so freaking real after becoming a parent. I simply don't even want to think about something. I just want to walk downstairs and be like, okay, what am I cooking? Where are the ingredients? What are we making? Someone just tell me. And that is why I love Green Chef. Green Chef is the number one meal kit for clean eating, delivering pre-portioned and prepped quality whole foods with limited processed ingredients. Green Chef sends organic, fresh produce, responsibly sourced proteins, and chef designs recipes in every box for satisfying, nourishing, and convenient meals that make it easy to stick to a clean routine. I love them so much because each week you can choose from 80 plus flavor-packed options. You can mix and match your meals and flavors from different dietary preferences. If you're keto or gluten-free or whatever you follow, they have something for you. It's so great to be able to just like go on the website, click what I want for the next week, and then I don't have to think about grocery shopping. The box shows up. Everything is like prepared, organized, already measured, and just ready for me to whip up a quick meal. You take back time in the kitchen with dinner in 30 minutes and lunch in 10. I recently made this delicious Cuban chicken with chimichurri. It had this base of like red bell peppers, snap peas, cabbage, pepitas, and a cheese. And it was so, so good. And also why I love them is it gets me cooking like outside of my comfort zone. I wouldn't have typically made a meal like that, but it was delicious. Now I know how to make it. I can recreate it another week if I want. I love them. Plus, April is Earth Month and sustainability is a core to the Green Chef brand. Green Chef offsets 100% of delivery emissions and 100% of plastic in each box. Plus, they partner with Plastic Bank to collect ocean-bound plastic pound for pound for every box they deliver. Go to greenchef.com/Cameron50 and use code Cameron50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. That's greenchef.com/Cameron50 and use code Cameron50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well.
So our experience with the second, he is a very different baby than our first in every which way under the sun. He had a lot of reflux issues. And so that kind of led to him also just, I think that was a huge reason why he wasn't sleeping. So the sleep deprivation was at a point unlike anything I had ever experienced, quite honestly. He took I won't even say a long time, because I actually think it's very normal. But compared to our first and what we've kind of been sold on the internet of this like 12 hours by 12 weeks, he wasn't sleeping through the night until like past 5 months, which I do think is very normal. But what we see on the internet tells us otherwise. And what I had experienced beforehand was different. So for me, things that we did that I think helped with the mental health difference is, one, we did have a night nurse the second time around for 3 nights a week for, I think it was 6 weeks. And like one night, maybe 2 weeks, we did 4 nights a week, like if they had availability. But that helped drastically in the ability to like somewhat reset my sleep, like somewhat actually rest. Of course, I was still breastfeeding at that time. So I was still up in the beginning to breastfeed and then towards the middle to pump. And then by the very end, I had just kind of dropped it and just let my boobs leak everywhere. But the comical joke about all of this is that as soon as we brought home our baby from the hospital, our toddler, who had been truly the greatest sleeper I've ever seen or heard of in a kid like that age, decided he was no longer going to sleep through the night. So our night nurse was up with the baby because that's who they were hired to take care of. But our toddler was waking up multiple times. I honestly think it was like every night at that point. So sleep was just not happening. And I think for me, I think about this a lot between the just real determination to not want to sleep by our child, by our baby, the reflux, the fact that we had like a hospital stint overnight stay at 2 weeks because he caught a virus that our toddler brought home from daycare, the feeding struggles that we experienced that were so wildly different than I had with our first and not at all the experience I had envisioned us having. Just, it was hard. It was fucking hard. There's no getting around it. Did we have so much help? Yes. Are we so blessed? Yes. Was it hard? It was really fucking hard. And I now, my husband and I look at each other and we're like, I'm really proud of us. Like, I know there are people, my cyber bullies, who will never comprehend this. That's fine. What I'm actually really working on is like, I'm okay with being misunderstood and I'm okay with people thinking they know everything when they know a very small sliver of things. Like, there are definitely things I still keep private to myself. There are things that I'm not sharing. So like, even though people think they may have the full image of my life, they absolutely do not. And I'm so proud of my husband and I. We say this all the time for like how we handled these past 5 months because they have been hard and testing for us. And I'm really proud of us. What I'm most proud of is this change I've had in my mental wherewithal. And I'm trying still to figure out what sparked it. And my therapist and I are always trying to figure it out because she's also proud of me, where it's like, it is what it is, you know? I've just kind of like relinquished control and tried to focus on the good where, yes, he's not sleeping, but like, we'll get through it. One day he'll sleep. One day he'll figure it out. One day I will sleep again. And I think that that's what's so different about being a second time mom versus a first time mom is that the first time I was so sure that like that was forever. I was so sure that waking up multiple times a night was the rest of my life. I was so sure that we would never have the freedom to do anything again. I was so sure that like our life had been flipped on its head because that's what happens when you have a baby. And I was just kind of terrified of what that looked like. But after having our first, I reached a point around month 9, 10, and then later on where I was the happiest I had ever been in my life. And so having that confidence of like, I love my life. I loved my life at a certain point more than I had ever loved it before after having a kid. I was happier than I had ever been. I was thriving, I felt. I can get back there. Like, this is not forever. And it's so hard to explain that to someone who's going through it for the first time, that these periods are temporary. But it's so true and so crucial to try and grasp because the hard times are temporary. But the other side of the coin is that the highs are temporary also. Like, those wonderful moments where you're just like overwhelmed with joy and obsession and love and just disbelief that this is your life, those periods of them as kids are also temporary. And I think knowing that caused me to lean in more to the just sheer acceptance of the hard time and the determination to focus on how much I love the positive times. So knowing that when our baby would be up in the middle of the night and screaming and needing to sleep on me for 90% of his sleep for the first 4 months of his life, was it hard? Fuck yeah, it was hard. But mentally, I knew that it wasn't forever. And I also just kept telling myself, like, I will miss these moments. And I hate that. I hate when people are like, oh, just wait. Or like, you're going to miss this. Because it's fucking annoying to hear that, okay? And I'm not even saying that to you. I'm not saying like, love every second because you're going to miss it. But mentally, I was reminding myself that I have data to prove for my first time that I do miss those moments. I will see photos of our toddler now as a fresh baby holding him. And I'm like, what? I would do anything for 5 minutes to just hold that human. I love him even more now, but I still feel nostalgic for that time. And so that's what I was reminding myself whenever these tough periods were happening of like, I will miss this exact moment. I will miss it. I will miss it. I will miss it. And I know that sounds crazy, but I will miss it. And so try to lean into it. And trying to just flip the narrative, even right now when he's waking up a little earlier, instead of like where my head went with our first of like, why aren't you sleeping? Like what? It's like, oh my God, how great. I get to cuddle you. I love cuddling you. Like it's just felt like a complete mental shift for me. And I really wish I had some like formula answer explanation on how I got there. I think focusing on the positives as much as you can, but also again, the reminder, it is all temporary. It's not forever. These moments are fleeting and passing. And that's a beautiful and terrifying part of parenting. And also trying to carve out time for yourself. And this is something that definitely was the hardest after our second, because I felt like I was constantly needed. And there were times where I was hysterically crying because both kids were wanting me and I didn't know how to be there for both of them. Or I felt like I didn't have a minute of the day without a human on my body at some point. But obviously it got easier as our second got older. And that's something I do believe, that like the hard parts of two only get easier as they get older. And the beautiful parts of two only get better as they get older. So like there's only up, in my opinion. Obviously I'm not entirely there yet, but thus far, 6 months later, that has been proven true. But I think now starting to try and carve out time where Joe and I are really intentional about trying to make sure we are prioritizing our own time, whether it be together, like the trip we had. And I would love to like start doing some date nights now that they're both sleeping, or being like, I'll take both kids for 3 hours today. You go do what you want to do. You take both kids for 3 hours tomorrow. You do what you want to do on the weekend. Like those things I think have been so vital. And I also think as a second time mom, you have this confidence that you simply didn't have the first go around. Like I'm not anxious over the things I was the first time because I know how to handle them. I'm not creating these like worst case scenarios for the reality because I know that's not reality. I'm not obsessing over things, whether it be sleep or feeding or any of those things, because it doesn't really make that big of a difference. And at the end of the day, like, yes, there's a window where it makes a difference of like what you're paying attention to. But if you're paying attention, the obsession, I don't think really adds any benefit. And I also think what's been the most freeing experience for me is the realization that our kids are so wildly different at this stage. I'm not saying that's going to be a forever thing, but like wildly different. Yet we've done the same things. We've pretty much parented the same way. So if they're so different, like will certain things make a difference? Does that make sense? It's this freeing feeling of like, well, even if I obsessed like I did with our first, our second is going to do whatever the fuck he wants to do when it comes to sleep. If he doesn't want to sleep, he's not going to sleep. Like our babies are not robots. And I think for so long with our first, I was obsessed with like perfecting, quote unquote, and treating him like a robot. And I don't know totally what shifted, but the second time I'm just more accepting over the fact that he's a baby and he's going to do kind of what the fuck he wants to do. And I can try and help him and I can be there for him and I can set him up for success. But at the end of the day, he's a baby. And that has been this obvious but freeing thing for me because it's something I never came to terms with the first go around. I'm trying to think of other things that helped this time around. I mean, I stayed on my medication since that first pregnancy. I've been on it. Dosages have changed and shifted. I do wonder if the fact that I'm not drinking this time around has helped. I can only imagine, given that it's had such a positive impact on my life, that it has positively impacted this experience in comparison, because I was drinking at that time during my postpartum with our first. I also stopped breastfeeding at week 8, which is not what I envisioned for myself, but given our feeding experience, it was absolutely the best thing that could have been done for me, yes, but honestly the most for our baby, because it made such a positive impact on him not drinking my breast milk, specifically off my boob. So I have to imagine that that positively helped, because it gave me parts of my body back. It gave me a little bit more freedom to do things. He became a happier baby, so that was just more enjoyable. I also think having the experience of the first gave me the wherewithal to communicate with friends and family and my husband of how I was feeling and not feeling like I had to just like sugarcoat everything. And also, I think after my first experience, I really accepted that two conflicting emotions can coexist at once. Like this concept of both and, I can be so obsessed and in love with my child and want a break. I can be so grateful and happy and blessed and sometimes have a hard time. And so I think instead of beating myself up over that, those low moments like I did the first time, I've just come to terms with the fact that like, yeah, I can be in love and also be having a hard time. And that's okay. Those two things can exist. What I wish I knew as a first-time mom was like, again, it's all temporary. It's all freaking temporary. To not sweat these small things that I created into these like Mount Everest moments when they really weren't a big deal at all. I wish I had earlier tried to start these like small moments of prioritizing myself, which I know seems impossible when you're in it. I'm not talking about week like 4, 5, 6, you know, I mean, even at that point, 5 minutes of just like sitting by yourself for a second and closing your eyes and just being like, I can do this. Just focusing on something outside of the baby. And maybe it's meditating. Maybe it's just putting on your headphones and listening to a really good song and sitting outside if you have access to outdoors easily, like something like that, where you're just taking a beat for yourself. I wish I had started doing that earlier, because that did make a huge difference for me, specifically music. Like music can be so healing. I think that what is so beneficial, and I know this is not available to everyone, but is having conversations with mothers who are seasoned. I think it's really important to have friends as you're going through this who are in the same kind of phase of life. Obviously, that's not available for every single human. It depends on your friend group and all of those things. But is it so beneficial to have that like fellow first-time mom going through with you, where you're in the weeds together and you're talking about things and you're both going through such of the same experience? Yes, it's wildly important. But what I also will say is it's really important to have someone who's done it before, who can be like, girl, I promise you it's not that big of a deal. I promise you, you're going to be okay. I promise this isn't forever. Just sending those reminders. And like, if you don't have that, hopefully I can be that for you. In my dream, that's what this whole show is and what my content is. But I know I have many girlfriends who are in it right now for their first go around. And I have one friend specifically who will call me and be like, I did this, I did. And I'm like, it's okay. It's literally okay. Do you want to feel better about yourself? Let me tell you what I did. And having someone that can be that for you, to just kind of talk you off that ledge and like bring you a little bit back down to like, oh, maybe I've created a bigger thing than it needs to be, is so important. And even like maybe monitoring who you're consuming, because I think I probably sparked a lot of anxiety in people my first go around without meaning to, but just the way that I was so anal about certain things. I remember people messaging me being like, you know, share the schedule. And it was all so anal. And yes, still we follow a schedule and I share it, whatever. But I was so type A about it that I'm sure I sparked anxiety in people. I can accept that. Like, I would like to think I'm a little self-aware. So maybe even monitoring who you're following, like who is making you feel more confident as a parent and who is making you feel like, oh shit, I'm not doing this well. Like I'm not doing enough of this, or I should be doing more of that. So just keep an eye on that, because the consumption is up to the consumer. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this helped anyone. I really wish that I could be for a moment this version of myself as a mom the first go round and like go back and just hug myself. I think about that little person, that woman, the first go round all the time and just wish I could give her a big fucking hug and be like, I promise it's going to be okay. You're going to do great and you're going to love this and it is going to get better and it's just going to continue to get better and you're amazing. Being a mom is the thing I think I'm the best at in my life and it's the thing I'm most confident at and it's the thing I love the most more than anything is being a mother to my children. And I wish that I could explain that to her, that you will feel that way eventually. But I also believe someone messaged me that like I said, thank God we had our second, the second time around because my mental health could not have handled this postpartum the first go around. Like the serious, just utter fuck you, I'm not sleeping. The reflux, the other stuff that was happening with him that like I don't get into, but just I could not. I'm sure I could have, but it would have been really fucking hard. Like the unicorn baby was given to me for a reason because my mental health was shit and that was what got me through. And so I said that and someone was like, but you couldn't be your second mom without having been your first mom, if that makes sense. Like Squash's mom, my toddler, could have never been October's mom, our baby. Never. She couldn't have done it. Like she simply couldn't have done it. And the only reason I'm able to be October's mom is because I was Squash's mom. Because I went through that, because I experienced it, because now I have the wherewithal, I am such a better mom to October because Squash's mom existed. I hope that makes sense. I also realize when you hear this, it probably sounds fucking weird that I say Squash in October, whatever. It is what it is. So thank you so much for listening. If you are in it, I just want you to know that like, I see you, I love you. It's fucking hard and you will get to the other side and it will continue to get better. And this community is here for you. It's full of amazing people focused on lifting each other up. And I am so honored that you listen to this. I am so honored that you're part of this community. I'm so honored that I get to be the mother to these two children because it's the greatest gift I've ever been given. And they are truly the first thing I think about and the last thing I think about every single day and my obsession. So thank you so much for listening. If you have time, if you could rate, review, subscribe, do all of those things, share with a friend, share on social media, all of it helps. I love you and have a great rest of your week. Thank you all so much for listening to today's episode of Freckled Foodie and Friends. I have so much fun recording the show. It is my favorite part of my job and truly is what lights me up. Your feedback and response to every episode is what keeps me going. And if this episode resonated with you, please feel free to DM me over on Instagram or share on your stories. If you are looking for a way to support the show, please rate and or review on whatever platform you use to listen to your podcast. It means the world to me and it really helps the show grow. Please also make sure to hit subscribe so that you are up to date with new episodes coming at you every Wednesday morning. And of course, please be sure to follow me on Instagram and TikTok at Cameron Oakes Rogers. I love you and I appreciate your support so much.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.